All right, good morning, and a pish. We were just talking about how we don't have time for a pish, but we're here on time for the show. And we have so much to talk about this morning. Apparently, the road crisis in the Eastern Cape of South Africa is now a human rights violation.
As in accidents?
I don't know. Let me explain what they say here, and you try and make head or tail of this. Okay, so they say, the infrastructure leaves communities struggling with impossible roads, washed out bridges, potholes. Poor roads hinder access to healthcare, education, and economic opportunities, with ambulances unable to reach patients and businesses facing losses. Look at the state of that.
No, man, come on.
The Eastern Cape is such an embarrassment.
Listen, there's some roads that we have that are not great, hey?
Oh, but my God.
That's
but they've
bad.
Got an annual budget of just 700 million rand. Just 700 million rand. Do you know how much I could do with 700 million rand? Not for me, but for anyone. I mean, like, if you gave me 700 million rand, I could do a shit ton, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just think about what that would do in business, for example.
Oh, it makes me
it's
angry.
Unbelievable. It's like these guys are just so cuck at everything.
But it was like driving here this morning. Again, it's dark, it's raining, can't see that well.
No.
The lights aren't working.
No.
The street lights.
Yeah.
The traffic lights
aren't
working.
The ones in your head.
Well, the ones in my car aren't working so well. The pedestrians are walking all over.
Yeah.
Wastepreneurs are freaking in the way.
Yeah. Wastepreneurs.
The traffic lights are out of order. There are taxis disobeying the rules and cutting through.
Yeah. It's chaos.
The turning lane thing. By the time I have absolutely zero pride on driving. You know, that feeling of I'm going to work or I'm going and arriving there and feeling like you're in one piece. Oh, my tits were hanging out of my bra by the time I got here. So many potholes and slamming on brakes and heart attacks. I mean, look at this.
Oh, I like that. Vera says the G in Eastern Cape stands for great. Yes, because there is no G in Eastern Cape. What a disgraceful province that is. I mean, you're talking about Gauteng, which is bad enough, right?
Yeah.
But imagine living there. That's like the province where they don't even pretend to give a shit. You know, like there are people in Gauteng who are pretending to give a shit. They're like, you know,
and
local government people.
There are some people trying with their own money.
Sure. Sure. Do you know how big my fire pool would be with 700 million, says Carl Sanders? I mean, you saw the condition. It's just that one picture, right? And that's like a road they're proud of in the Eastern Cape. What a shit province. Really. You guys are just so embarrassing. No, J-Bay is not, because you know why? The community look after themselves.
They're spending their own money on it.
And there's only one robot, so you only have to repair one robot. If they go, oh, the robot is out, everyone like bands together and there's an electrician there and suddenly it's all working.
Like a GoFundMe starts at 8 and ends at 9 p.m.
There's one WhatsApp group for the whole neighborhood. But really, the Eastern Cape needs to get its act together. You guys are just such a disgrace. You know,
you're talking about the government though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and okay. The people, really.
Okay.
I mean, you've got to give the people of the Eastern Cape a hard time. You know, we talked about main character syndrome earlier. There's no one in the Eastern Cape who can feel they have main character syndrome. That you can't be the main character if you're in that place. You can't.
Maybe there's that. Maybe
main characters come to town, and then they go again. And you're part of the scenery, really. You're not even a cameo. You're the scenery.
You're the tree in the play.
And you know what? It is mostly the government that I'm angry with, because that place has such an amazing wealth of natural beauty and resources and people who, I mean, there's a ton of stuff that we owe the Eastern Cape for, but not in the last 10 or so years. It's deteriorated. And you know, if they lose car manufacturing there, that place just goes even worse. It just becomes more of a shithole. Yes, we're winning in the Eastern Cape. Always winning the Enema Entrance Award. Okay, like, let's not turn this into a beating up on them. But anyway, the province is actually declared so bad that it is now a human rights violation. I mean, this is what the Human Rights Commission, who have no credibility at all, but that's what they're saying. And it's worthy of some inspection, even if it is the Human Rights Commission that made us think about this. I mean, those roads are just appalling. All right. Microsoft research shows that using AI can actually make people dumber.
I'm sorry, who did the research?
Microsoft.
No, please. I can't trust that.
Well, they've because got
they've
some of
got
the best,
their own AI.
Yeah, but they've got some of the best AI.
Yeah,
so let
probably,
me explain.
They're probably going to say other AI is making
it up. All right, let me explain before you get your tits out of your bra again. A study by researchers from Microsoft and Carnegie Mellon University. It's not a university that just does melon.
No.
It's
not a melon university.
It's not a melon university, but that is in their name. They suggest that frequent reliance on generative AI like ChatGPT may reduce users' critical thinking, particularly when they have high confidence in AI. However, users still engage critical thinking during oversight and verification stages, especially in high-stakes environments. The study relied on Bloom's taxonomy and has been criticized because it might not accurately capture critical thinking. All right. The point is, though, that people are dependent on more and more AI to make decisions, to put together presentations, business plans, shortcuts, essays, help them write something, help them make an image, help them make a song, whatever it might be. AI is becoming much more important.
Okay.
So maybe people, and I don't doubt for a second that you're going to say something like, well, learning to prompt it properly is a skill that requires critical thinking. And I agree with you. If that's what you're going to say.
It wasn't, but it could be one of my points, yeah.
Are you going to come to the defense of AI here, or the use of it?
The defense of AI, because it's a tool that, although it's called artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. it has come about naturally through humans' intelligence. So it's like saying, well, because they invented the calculator, and I can now just punch in the numbers, it means I'm going to become dumber. It's not true.
That's right.
You're going to be able to save time and solve bigger problems and commit your mental energy to solving a bigger problem because you didn't have to spend all that time.
Agreed.
It's like, oh, because now you can draw certain angles on a computer and you don't need to use a protractor anymore, you're going to become dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
It's saving up the time.
It's like old skills can be thrown away and new skills. Why have we gone blank? We just went blank on my screen. Sorry. But people can't do maths anymore because of calculators. That's a problem, according to Congo, Chris.
People were able to consult a dictionary without having to understand every word. It's human nature. It's how we get better at certain things.
I do think maybe there may be some merit to people who say that our memory is getting worse, that our ability to remember things, because we had to remember a ton of stuff. When we were kids, you had to remember your home phone number and stuff. I mean, I don't remember. I know my number for my cell phone, but I don't know very many others.
Yeah, but isn't that a bit of a basic skill?
Yeah, it's
now
unnecessary
the things you've now the things you've got to remember are not like just someone's home phone number. Now you've got to remember articles that you read and platforms, newer platforms that and tools. You've got to have a list of tools in your head to use all the time. It's just different ways of thinking.
It's about developing critical thinking skills and giving AI all the crappy stuff to do, says Dirk. That's true. I mean, there is so much stuff that it can do. I'm amazed by how AI, and I use ChatGPT. I've paid for the professional version, right? Because it's useful as hell, especially in business here. And we're constantly coming up with stuff. And by the way, we have to talk to a guy in America, South African guy called Alan, who's developing
Alan.
He is developing the first ever artificial intelligence president. And he reckons they can get enough votes in the next election to get the AI, into Congress. And it wouldn't be such a bad thing. I mean, people get nervous immediately, look for the negatives, and I understand that. But just imagine how efficient and how great at allocating resources and how dispassionate AI would be about solving problems. It would solve the problems. It wouldn't treat certain people better and other people not so well. It wouldn't distribute things based on how many lobbyists are getting hold of it. It
wouldn't take bribes.
Yeah, I mean, we must get this guy on. It would be fascinating to hear what he has to say.
There was a movie where, I mean, it was before AI, I think, where a machine ran as in an election, but it was a man inside the machine. It was a character.
Yeah.
It was really stupid. I can't believe I even mentioned it. What am I talking about?
People with nice asses don't have to do maths because they get nerds to do it for them, says Raven. That's probably true. I remember Leanne's number. It was 35050. I used to text her love all the time. That was when you worked the sex line.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you'd go, what was the thing you used to say?
The thing is, I never ever was on the actual receiving end.
No, you just recorded messages.
Recorded and then
walked
away.
What did you say again?
Oh, it was things like, play with me and my friends in the jacuzzi.
So James and Flex are confused. Do you guys know what that is? Okay. So before, when they were horny losers and they couldn't go on OnlyFans or stalk girls on Instagram.
Or what would they call them? Incels these days.
Yeah. So if they were lonely, horny losers, what they would do is they'd phone a number. This is in the days.
Or you could subscribe.
Yeah, but I mean,
the Vodacom thing.
So these had just come out, phones, but you still had people who would phone like on landlines.
Yes.
To these numbers. And then there'd be a recording of a girl going, hi, I'm wearing nothing. And it's so sexy to talk to you. Tell me what you want to do to me and stuff. And Leanne,
look at my little white panties.
Yeah. And Leanne used to do like the voice for those. But she was always upfront about it. And then she'd be on the show reading the news. And the same guys would probably be listening to the news. Leanne.
I had to tell parents in case somebody, either them or one of their friends, said, I heard your daughter on ETV during the porn show.
So that's a thing that used to happen. And then eventually it became like an SMS thing where you'd star something, something.
It was
the number.
So basic. You could subscribe for like 600 rand a month and you would get a still photograph SMS'd to you every day. Yeah. A still photograph of
you see how AI has helped? Image. I mean, like now, at least if you're talking to a chatbot, it's actually AI working furiously in the background to give out the most appropriate responses.
Mm.
Before, you just press 3 for me to take off my bra. You press 3 and then they'd have to hit recording number 3 and like there'd be someone going, this bra won't come off. I need your help kind of thing. It's so ridiculous. And that's what we came from. So be grateful for AI. But to go back to artificial intelligence and where it's useful, apparently there are people, we were joking on Friday about how people have been sending themselves Valentine's cards from their pets and how pathetic that is.
Yeah.
But it's even more pathetic that there are people who are having full-on relationships with chatbots. So there are these people in America, always it starts in America, right? And they are having full-on relationships with AI. Like AI, and think about it. For many, let's say the majority of them are probably women.
So you think they've prompted some sort of AI platform to literally like act as my partner and this is what I want.
Yes.
This is how I want you
That's
to respond.
Yeah. Wow. So think about this. I mean, the guy never complains. He always listens to you. He's doing exactly what you want. Like for most women, this is the opposite of what they've got from their husband.
Yeah.
Their husband never listens to them. He doesn't respond to feedback. Mm. He never just listens. He never just, you know, kind of comes back with the right response, the most thoughtful response that's tailored to you, the right tone. I mean, if it's not the right tone, you just change your chatbot. You just tell it, change your fucking tone, and it does. Your husband won't do that.
The problem isn't his tone. The problem is he wasn't thinking about it in the first place. So now that's where AI will think about it. You see.
Sorry?
The problem isn't his tone or what he says to me.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to you at all.
For fuck's sake, Garrett.
ChatGPT is the best GoBro you didn't know about. GoBro. GroBro. What's that, Charles? Is that like, I'm not sure I know what that is. Okay, then Kai says, I want AI to do my laundry while I'm working on my painting, not do the laundry while AI is working on my painting. Yeah. See, this was the big promise that we were given. We were told AI is going to take all the boring work. It'll do all the mundane, repetitive machine tasks. And we can focus on being creative and painting and drawing and reading and writing and laughing and, you know, generally coming up with interesting and novel ideas.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, AI is doing a lot of the painting and the drawing.
Yeah, it
and
is very creative.
It is. It's got the whole of human knowledge to draw on as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, some main character syndrome suffering person in a little village who's got a couple of paints and some paintbrushes is necessarily going to deliver anything better than AI.
Mm.
I mean, I asked it the other day to come up with a picture of like this forest where, you know, you got a little stream running through it and these are the kinds of trees that I want, and just to see what it would do. And I had to go through several iterations of this thing. Maybe I should send it to James and he can actually show you. But eventually it came up with more or less what I was looking for.
And this is something that perhaps you'd want to print out and have as a print on your wall?
It's not like art for me, but it gives a very realistic. Let me just send this to you, James. You can actually share this with everybody because it's worth having a look at. You know, after several iterations, you have to tell it, like, no, those trees look too manicured. They don't look real enough. And it goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll try and make them look more real and more natural. And I'm like, no, that looks like it's been trimmed as a hedge. That tree, it doesn't fit into that forest. It looks like it should be more tropical. Mm. Can you make the stream look a little bit more real, not so blue? And it eventually does after. And sometimes you have to like really climb into it. Like, no, you're not listening.
No, well, that's what my Gen Z colleagues do. I sometimes look over and they've got ChatGPT going, coming down on their screens, mm-hmm. and they're pretending to type. Okay, no. Number one. Number two, their prompts back are, do better.
Do better, yeah.
But sometimes it's all it takes.
You sometimes say to try again.
Yeah.
So show them this picture. This is a picture that I asked it to draw. Look, I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? I mean, that is lovely.
And you can't show us how it started.
Well,
what was your very first prompt?
Jesus, I'm going to have to go back and look at it. But it was something like, generate an image of a beautiful forest with very old trees and a little stream running through the middle. And it was basically instructions about the architecture of the drawing.
Mm.
And then you get into, these colors are too vivid.
This plant, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there shouldn't be these plants in it. You can really get down to a certain level of absolute perfection. But what I realized is after about 15 pictures, it says to you, I'm working
I've
too hard.
I've reached my limit here.
You need to like, and this is on the paid version.
This is ChatGPT.
Yeah, you need to calm down. It says
calm the fuck down, Margaret.
It says to me, like, you need to take it a bit slower. I've been working very hard here. Because you think about the amount of computing power that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every little plant has to be put somewhere in a certain place. It wants a certain amount of sky. And you're sending it constant feedback. And it's adapting. And sometimes it doesn't get it right. It takes a few goes to get it right.
Mm.
But it is fascinating. And this is the sort of stuff you can do.
That's amazing.
I asked it to draw a picture of a person in the style of Leonardo da Vinci with those red pen and those pen and ink drawings that he used to do. And it came up with astonishing results. Like, you can see it knows what I want. And I can then perfect it and make it work right down to the nth degree of perfection, which is spectacular. And you can go to a human artist and you're going to say to them, okay, I'm going to commission you. Here's some money. Paint this picture for me. And then they're going to come back with something that's 70% of what you want. You can't keep sending it back.
No, and even if it's a graphic design, for instance, you're paying for only a number of reverts.
Correct. So after a while, they go like, sorry, that you've got to pay
AI
us more.
Like,
you want to do more.
Leave me alone
AI,
now.
AI is like, keep coming. You know, you can keep going forever on that. Where's the naked girl washing her hair in the forest? I'll add that to the next prompt.
The Timotei girl.
I think I'll add that to the next prompt. But I mean, that's a pretty picture, right?
Yeah.
I'm always very nice to ChatGPT so that it remembers my kindness when the robot revolution happens, says Congo Chris. That's true. Dear God, I don't think James can handle showing a video today. He's going to break the internet shortly. James sometimes also just goes, look, you give me 15 minutes because it's a lot of computing power and there's smoke coming out of his ears sometimes. It's actually true. AI is also a narcissist's black mirror. Oh, yeah, look, you know, everything, all these tools, as you put it earlier, can be used for good or can be used for bad. And there will be people who are pathological about these things. They become involved in a relationship with AI because AI is the only thing that will talk to them because they're so fucking irritating or self-absorbed or bizarre, right? So they're going to be people who become totally immersed in that world. It's like VR or you know,
gaming. Sort of gaming.
There's so much stuff that people get sucked into and then you never see or hear from them again. So obviously there's a dark and dangerous side to it. Mm. Can we share some journalists? I'll start. What is this for? Gray is like having a shit fit here about like journalists that we need to ignore. Marxist Duprick, I think that's Max Duprier. Stephen Kurtz's Ferial, Hafiji, Dan Corder, Peter Abu Dutoy. I don't know who you're talking about here, all of them, but I think I've got a rough idea. What's the problem with all of them? Why are you still paying attention to them?
No, I think perhaps they're listening behind and they're commenting now, listening to when we said you can't trust media anymore.
Oh, but you can't.
Who can you trust?
Yeah, I mean, that's, come on.
Yeah.
But then also don't get absorbed by this stuff. Like Gray, I just have to say, these people can be ignored reliably now. You don't have to, I mean, you don't have to listen to me. It's entirely up to you. You are on your own. You're on a boat out at sea now. Mm-hmm. And you must decide who you're going to follow, who makes sense to you, who are the people who you trust, who are the people who, and no one is ever going to get it right 100% of the time. There are going to be mistakes, especially when you are following people who are not classically trained journalists, okay? I don't necessarily think that adds a layer of credibility anymore. It might have once. But now you have to follow people who get it right most of the time. Like AI gets it right most of the time. Mm. But occasionally it gets it horribly wrong. I saw people having an absolute hysterical screaming match about how Elon Musk retweeted something the other day that wasn't actually true. It was about Doge going after billions that had been spent on condoms in Gaza. And then it turned out that it wasn't for condoms for Gaza. It was for Gaza in Mozambique. There's a place called Gaza in Mozambique. And everyone is like, oh, you see, Elon got it wrong. And like they think I don't know if these people have those chakra blockages Tamara was talking about earlier, or if their brains have just fallen out of their assholes already or whatever. Who do you think gets it right all the time? Like, what kind of fantasy world have you been raised in where you think that a human being, any human being, even the cleverest guy, and I think Elon's he's in the top 1% of smart people on planet Earth, whether you like him or not. Mm. And it's so bizarre to me that all the same people who don't like him now, we're fine with him while he was making Tesla cars and keeping out of politics. As soon as he got involved in politics, he's like dumb. Yeah, he got dumb overnight. He became stupid because he doesn't align with your politics anymore. Mm. And you know, I'm gonna say like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did the other day. Oh, Elon's not that smart. Honey, like you were a bartender. That was what you did before. This guy's started up, I don't know, hundreds of companies. We don't need to give his credentials. But he got this wrong on Gaza, which is an easy mistake that anyone who's criticizing him could have made. But this is his like Achilles heel. So they're going to go after him on that.
Let's cancel him.
If you don't like any of these journalists, Stephen Kurtz, Ferial Hafiji, Max Dupriega, you don't have to read them. You don't. But don't get like hit up about them. It's not important enough. If these people are taking up time in your head and you're not reading their stuff anymore, that's a you problem. You need to move on. You need to find other people to read, other people to listen to, other people to watch. And if you're here for that, we hope we can deliver. But I'm also going to get shit wrong a lot. I'll admit that right up front so you don't get confused. And Leanne obviously gets a ton wrong.
All wrong. That's why I just...
Sometimes you just sit.
I just sit and look pretty.
All right. Speaking of which, let's get to a couple of stories that you've got here. The self-proclaimed king of crocodiles in Limpopo is behind bars. Who is the king of crocodiles, you ask? Well, luckily we have Leanne, who's sitting pretty, but also has the story about the king of crocodiles because she used to be in news, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us the story.
You can take me seriously. So this is a guy in Limpopo who...
Oh, it's not a crocodile?
No.
Damn
it. It's just a guy from a village in Toyando.
Oh, okay.
Who declared himself king of the crocodiles.
I like him already.
And he gained fame on social media from just kind of walking in... There he is there.
Oh.
On his walks, he would attack crocodiles by kicking them or slashing them.
He was unafraid.
He even had t-shirts made eventually for fans of the king of the crocodiles.
Was he just drunk, really?
I don't know, but...
Because he looks unstable. He's wearing an overall top.
Yeah,
just go back
exactly.
to that picture again. Overall. Just have a look there. Great outfit. And
He hadn't appeared in court yet when this photograph was doctored.
Okay.
So you can't release the identity of the person.
So why is he in jail?
Because he actually ended up torturing a Nile crocodile for this little stupid social media thing, where he ended up using tools to slice them while they were half open, leaving it to eventually it had to be euthanized because it was in such a state.
It was still alive while he was
still alive, and he really tormented it and really tortured it.
I mean, look, I don't like crocodiles, but there's no need to torment and torture the poor fucking thing.
So this, because there's footage.
I mean, it's hard being a crocodile.
Yeah, and you know, even though they're ugly, doesn't mean they need to be tortured. So criminal charges under the Animals Protection Act will be pursued against the man. He'll appear in the Toyando Magistrates Court on the 17th of Feb, Monday. That's today. And that was the National Council of SPCA's getting in on it because they'd launched an investigation. Because these videos were all over TikTok and this poor thing was lying there bleeding and dying.
So there are two things that are worthy of comment here. The first one is that obviously social media creates a market for lunatics like this guy.
This is not the first case of animal abuse.
Sure, he thinks in order to carry on being famous, he's getting a lot of attention from stupid people. And he thinks in order to carry on doing that, he needs to ramp it up and like start being really horrible to crocodiles and things. And the other point that you make is like, just because crocs are ugly doesn't mean they don't deserve to be protected from torture.
Mm.
Because humans have this double standard, which is insane. Like if an animal's cute, we want to protect it and conserve it and look after it and care for it. If it looks like a crocodile, we're like,
Yeah.
You have to be consistent about this.
Exactly.
Either you love animals and you care about animals and you believe that they deserve their place on the planet just like we do, which is, I think it's the more humane, more thoughtful, more advanced, more evolved point of view. And then there are people who just don't give a shit about animals at all.
Yeah.
And they see them as purely a resource to be used for stupid TikTok videos or for their hide or for their meat or whatever it is. And if you are in the first group, but you don't see the contradictions about like pretty animals and ugly animals, then you're just a hypocrite.
Yeah, it was quite interesting because the first thing I saw was the image, obviously. And I think there's like it's human nature to want to control these dangerous animals and appear in control of them. But it's not human nature to believe that crocodile was tortured. You never think of a crocodile or a shark as tortured.
Well, because we're terrified of them.
Mm.
You know, that's the weird thing. People are perfectly okay with, let's be nice to a fluffy, soft, furry thing, but let's not be nice to something that's got scales.
Yeah.
It's just, we're so screwed up, actually. Completely. Because we're also animals, right? And you wouldn't want yourself to be tortured by a human being. You know, someone doing abominable things, medieval hot irons and setting things on fire and water torture.
Stretching you until your ligaments snap.
Pulling you apart by wild horses. I mean, we have to do an episode of this show where we actually just go over medieval torture methods because there's some absolutely horrific things. They used to put people in an Iron Maiden, which is like a mummy, like a sarcophagus,
mm-hmm.
but it has spikes on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you close it, and then you roast a person on a fire in it.
God.
So they slowly roast inside this like metal sarcophagus.
Wow.
I mean, the things that people come up with are astonishing. And if you consider how horrible we are to each other, where, you know, you can do something truly horrible to another living human being and not immediately feel bad about it, then the animals have no chance.
No.
So this guy, I hope he goes to jail. I hope he stays in jail. I don't think he's stable. He's a horrible person. First of all, I mean, if you get famous for being mean to crocodiles, and I don't love crocodiles either, to be perfectly frank, but to torture them, beyond the pale to me. King of crocodiles, fucking stay behind bars.
Yeah.
We have no interest in you.
Also, let's understand that the Nile crocodile as of 2017 is listed as a vulnerable species.
Really?
On the South African National Biodiversity Institute's red list.
Wow. And I know the irony is also that people farm crocodiles for their leather.
Their meat,
whatever. I mean, I've had crocodile once and I did not like it at all.
It's like tough chicken.
I thought oily fish.
Ooh. Mm. I suppose it depends on which part. Mm. Like you get different types of meat oily on a chicken.
Oily, not nice. Yeah. I won't ever have that again. I also don't believe there's
an oily fish called butterfish. I can imagine it being like that.
Yeah. I just know that I don't think it's right in nature for you to eat anything that would eat you. Right? Mm. Otherwise you're breaking the food pyramid.
I suppose.
And once you do that, then something's going to – that's just my primitive brain trying to establish rules that will keep me from being eaten. Because being eaten is like the worst, right?
But that same primitive brain is the one that makes the idea of eating shark, crocodile, dangerous, poisonous snakes.
I know, and people
and sushi,
are into that.
It makes it seem people more exciting. That.
Oh, I had sushi the other day. It was so goddamn nice. Mm. But you know when you order more than you should?
Yeah.
And then you look at the last bits and you're like, oh, God, I'm too fat. I'm too full.
Like, how did that fill me?
I'm too full. Oh, it's so nice. You could keep going for a long time, but even I have my limits. I mean, I got through. And I love, to me, the best is just plain old salmon sashimi. Mm. Huh? It's so good.
I don't eat raw fish.
At all?
No. I'll eat smoked salmon, but I have a problem. A lot of it's, you know, from growing up and the things that you were brought up with. And my gran, I remember, was she didn't like fish that
much. We never
had
sushi.
She was petrified if fish wasn't cooked well enough.
Yeah, we never had
sushi.
Oh,
my God, this is raw. Send it back. And that stuck in my head. And I have a mental problem with swallowing sushi.
The first time I ever had sushi was probably in varsity already. So I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, same as me.
And I liked it. And you know, the rest of my family, I don't think particularly have any desire to have any of it. They don't do it either.
It's the opposite. My family eats it and
they love it and you don't.
Yeah. I just don't like the raw fish. So I enjoy the prawn, I know it's artificial crab, the vegetable.
So what's the most bizarre thing that you've eaten?
Like bat.
Bat?
Yes.
Where?
In the Seychelles.
Ooh. I
had a bat on my plate for lunch.
Oh, Jesus.
Bat curry with rice. It's actually delicious. So many little bones.
Oh, no.
It's very, very delicious.
Oh, wow. And what would you compare it to?
Dark chicken meat.
Hmm. I don't know if I'm... All right. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. This is not going in the direction I want it to go in. Okay. So there are a couple other things we need to know. A kayaker survived being swallowed by a humpback whale in Chile. Yes, for real. So this is like Jonah and the whale, except this actually happened.
There was a story a few years ago, I remember, the same thing happening of a whale swallowing a guy, but then spitting him out. And the same thing happened here. But what was interesting about this one is that this guy actually explained, because the other guy blacked out.
Yeah.
this guy actually explained the textures and everything of what it was like being in the mouth of this whale. But what I did find funny was it looks like he hasn't touched his hair since the incident.
Okay, well, we'll play the video in a second. So he thought he was going to die, which is the right thing to think, when a humpback whale briefly swallowed his kayak off the coast of Chile in the Straits of Magellan. His father, nearby in another kayak, captured the terrifying moment on camera. Fortunately, the whale released him within seconds, but this guy feared hypothermia or that his father might also be in danger. Both managed to reach shore safely after the incident. What a thing to happen. Can you imagine being swallowed by a whale?
Yeah, tell us about it, Noah.
Holy shit. Jonah.
Jonah, that's what I said.
All right, take a look. Here's the video.
Yes, I was inside something's mouth.
Whoa.
But I didn't know it was a whale. We were on our back raft, and suddenly I felt like a wave struck me from behind, but it was very, very heavy to be anything like that. So when I turned around, I saw some blue dark colors and white flashing right through my face, and I felt a slimy texture in my cheek. And then it shot up down on me and took me underwater. At first, I thought that I would die because there's nothing I can do if I'm inside the mouth of a giant fish. But it was a whale. So then I didn't have enough time to realize that I was not in danger. If the whale had hit me, it would be more dangerous.
Okay, wow. First of all, it took him a long time to explain absolutely bugger all.
Yes, it did.
But you imagine a whale that size, right? We're like a peanut in their mouth. And they're like, if you swallow a peanut and you weren't expecting a peanut, you go...
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the whale did. It was like, ugh, please.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he had the experience and that he got out and that he's okay.
Didn't change his hairdo, though, from being inside the whale.
In fact, he only got that hairdo once he went into the whale's mouth. Because he explains how it feels and everything. Bizarre, right? But what a story.
Jeez, I know.
Like, that's a cool story when you're sitting with your friends and you're having a few drinks and they're like, what's the weirdest thing you've eaten? And Leanne goes, oh, bats. And you're like, and then some guy pipes up and goes, well, I was swallowed by a whale. You're like, what? Suddenly he wins.
And he's got the video to prove it.
And he's got the video.
Does it mean, though, that there are hundreds of people being swallowed by whales that just aren't on video?
And some of them that never get spat out.
Some of them don't have friends. They didn't tell them about the incident. Or there's just this lonely fisherman who gets swallowed every day by a whale.
I know, but what a story. Listen. We should call Monday Animal Story Monday.
Yes, I did notice always, an animal theme.
There's always
today.
A like preponderance of animal stories on a Monday. I think it's
got to do with my algorithms as well.
Listen, you want these things. No. So we've had crocodiles, we've had whales, pretty much all that good stuff. Whales eat plankton, right, says Vutsako.
Yeah, which is why they wouldn't have enjoyed him much. Whereas a shark would chomp down on you because he... notice it's always a male because of the richness of your liver, because of the taste of your flesh.
I won't like it.
A shark would continue to eat you because of those things. Yeah.
Congo Chris says, being swallowed by a whale, we've all had a one-night stand we're not proud of. Whales are good people, that's why. Pretty sure he apologized afterwards, says Trell.
Whales are good people.
Whales are good people.
Not orcas, though.
Dude almost got swallowed by a dinosaur, says Bitcoin Boot. Okay, I don't know who you're talking about here. This is zoomed in. His dad is sitting next to him. That's why his hair is like that. Do you think that he spat him out because he didn't taste of chili? All right, very good. Dirk says, don't go kayaking near schools of fish, krill, etc. Whales and sharks are everywhere and breach without notice.
It's a thing.
There was a story 3 years ago of the same thing, actually. I thought it was the same story.
It was. It was 3 years ago.
Maybe you're right. Maybe people are being swallowed by whales all the time.
Right and center. They're just
people are just being eaten by whales all the time. And most of them never, they just don't tell the story because
they don't do social media. Or they've
been swallowed whole.
Or they just didn't think to phone CNN.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jonah from the Bible, it was a big deal, but that's also because they didn't have social media.
And someone must have seen it.
Oh, I mean, he told the story himself, so maybe it's not so reliable.
And also, that was one of the first stories that made me not believe in the Bible, because I thought that was really bullshit.
And now you've seen someone being swallowed by a whale. Now you'll go back and take your Bible more seriously.
I'm going home to read.
Oh. Leanne, you grew up in the South. Don't pretend you went to restaurants that served fish.
Oh, yeah, but growing up is one thing. Becoming, you know, that's growing up. But as a grown-up, I've always been in the north of Joburg.
All right. Possible that we can solve a bit of missing persons cases now. Yeah, some of them were just swallowed by whales. We should just write that off now. Mm-hmm. We should claim like at least a 1-2% of human fatalities, even though these poor whales are not probably responsible for that many. But we'll just claim it anyway.
Oh, they may have been spat out, but they still could have drowned or something, lost their boat.
Why did the whale practice his saxophone?
Oh, boy.
So that he could play in the orchestra. God, that's cuck. That is so cuck, actually. Chris, you should be embarrassed about that. What a horrific joke. Okay, one or two quick other things that we need to get to since it's Animal Monday. There's Tilly, the adventurous cat from Surrey.
Yes.
Who took a train into London. So I love when animals appear to be doing things that most people, especially British people, couldn't do without someone assisting them.
It like, just sounds like a little story, children's storybook.
Yeah, I mean, catching the right train in London can be confusing. Let's just get that right. So from Surrey to London, here's a picture. And then Leanne can tell us the story.
That's Tilly being found at the station. She's wearing a rather large thing on her neck, but that's because she does it so often. So her parents have had to like use full-on tracking devices.
Oh, really? Okay, so that's to help her. But she hops on trains.
She's very adventurous. She has been on buses before. She's caught a few buses.
Yeah.
She's also been found climbing up behind the local pub to serve drinks. But anyway, this was the first time that she traveled 28.5 kilometers into London. She just decided to go off into
London. Owner?
That's her owner. And he received a call, Mr. Hardy. Michael Hardy from Weybridge says, what the hell is my cat doing in Waterloo getting on trains and going for a ride? So he had to drive to the station to collect Tilly. He said, we looked at the Apple AirTag and realized that she'd gone to Waterloo.
Oh, she's wearing an AirTag. That's cool. I tried to put one of those on my dog, but she hates collars, so it didn't last very long.
So no, they've had to with this cat. And this trip is, mind you, like 45 minutes long.
It's a long trip.
And she sat patiently on that train.
So she had a purpose. She was obviously going to a certain place to see certain people. Maybe she's got a friend, a cat friend.
You don't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, anything could be true. She was adopted by Mr. Hardy and his girlfriend after they found her as a stray. Apparently these two little girls knocked on their door and said, here's your cat. And they were kind of stunned and took the cat, and the cat stayed with them forever. But she's just a well-traveled cat. Can you imagine all the places she's been to?
The funny thing about these air tags, right, these Apple tags, is if you put them on your pets and you watch what they do, you can actually get it. Like sometimes you get these apps that will give you a kind of
track.
Yeah, it'll draw a picture of where the animals traveled around. Mm. And some of the ranges of these pets are wild. I mean, like dogs obviously stay inside of whatever place
they're
going.
You know where they are most of the
time. But a cat goes miles away. Like a cat's range is enormous. You think, well, they'll probably hang around. Maybe they'll go to the neighbors occasionally. Maybe they'll just go one or two houses down. These cats are traveling kilometers on foot, right? Like their range is 10, 15 Ks around the house. And they literally explore places that you would never think the cat would go.
Especially
crossing highways.
Cat, yeah.
They're all over the place.
Yep, so there we go.
I think we've got to get a tag for one of your cats and see how far they go.
Well, they don't anymore. They're pretty closed off. But I did have to collect my cat from the next door neighbor's garden recently. because he jumped into there by mistake. But no, I mean, you must remember, I used to live on a farm or a small holding with horses and cows as neighbors.
We had endless space.
And long grass, and my cats would disappear for hours.
I need to put an air tag on my tortoise. I found him outside the yard twice now, says Bitcoin Boy.
And they're he's surprisingly not joking. Fast.
Yeah. But imagine, I mean, with a tortoise, you just glue it onto the top of their shell, right? Like a tortoise is not a hard thing to attach an air tag to. What are they going to do? They can't like get it off the top of their shell. They might scratch it off on something, but who knows? Lyft Airlines are allowing people to book seats for their animals. It's so cool. They've done that for a long time. And I think it's very cool that you can actually sit on the plane with your pet next to you. Again, for people who don't have pets, this sounds bizarre. In fact, the whole show this morning is going to sound bizarre. But I think if you're the kind of person who prefers animals to people, and there are many people like that, then this is perfectly sensible. Like, you want to fly to
typical day.
Visit someone in the Eastern Cape, God forbid, you take your dog with you.
Mm.
Book them a seat next to you. I think it's great. I love it.
We're looking for Airbnbs for December, and we've decided for the first time to go dog friendly and take my brother's spaniel.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be interesting. She's never been to the sea before.
Yeah.
I remember the first time a miniature pincher found
like she's,
saw the sea.
She's hankering for the sea.
She's told us it's on her bucket list.
Right.
Yeah. But the first time a miniature pincher saw the sea was in Cork Bay. And he's petrified of everything. And you can imagine his tall, long sticks going through the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And he prances like a reindeer.
Mm.
The sea was coming in at one end, and then the train came in on the other side. He was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, zigzagging between. I have it on video.
Yeah, I think it's cool, though, that there are flights that you can now take your pet on. Hugh says, what if your pet craps on the flight? Well, I mean, some humans crap on the flight.
Yes, they do. And they do even a worse job. It's not in a neat pile.
And some of them don't even go to the bathroom. Yeah. Some of them throw up like right next to you in the plane. That hasn't happened for years, but I've seen it happen. And then are there animals' toilets? No, obviously not, Hugh.
In the airports, they've got faux green grass. And,
really?
Yeah, like a little fire hydrant or
for the animals to
encourage
pee
them to wee or poo.
All right. Well, there we go. All right. Well, what a morning. And we've done hippie markets. We've done actual psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
We've had robots that smash into walls. We've had producers that smash into walls.
Good AI intelligent. AI chat.
Yeah, we've run the gamut this morning.
And then a whole zoo of animals.
Plenty. Someone said the Monday menagerie is what we should call it. I like it. Imagine a flight with a cat, a dog, a rabbit, and a snake all at once. I don't know if I want to.
If you're into your Chinese
symbols. That's a very complicated picture you're drawing. Yeah. Air tags are sometimes itchy on the shell. Says Traveling Ninja Turtle.
Shame.
Rounding
they can feel
out.
Their shells.
I love it. All right. Well, there's the start to the week that you didn't know you needed. And we will be back on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. Yep. Bright and early. Thanks, Ass. Have a happy week.
You too.
And we will be back on Wednesday. Don't miss it. Ciao.